there has been some significant updates on the Pico balloons. ZSX-SRC-37 was last heard on 17 August off the west coast of Peru. ZSX-SRC-39 was last heard on 12 August over eastern Australia. And ZS-1ERZ was last heard on 15 August, which was the date that it was launched. ZS-6 Whiskey Bravo Tango-1 was launched from Secunda on Tuesday, 18 August 2026, and at the time of writing this program was located 3/4 of the way between South Africa and Australia over the southern Indian Ocean. As usual, there is a lot of speculation about what happened to the balloons and that seemingly healthy balloons just disappeared. We will never know the cause of their disappearance. Let us talk a little about the history of aircraft scatter. The first radio-based detection of aircraft was accomplished by L.A. Hyland of the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory in June 1930, using a 33 MHz CW signal. The detection was accidental, as Hyland was working on ground-based direction finding equipment at a military airport and astutely noted that the received direction finding signal increased when the aircraft passed through the direction finding beam. The history of amateur use of aircraft scatter goes back at least to 1967. In August 1967, Henry Root, Whiskey One Quebec, November Golf, wrote a 2-page article for the technical correspondence section of the QST magazine discussing the theory of aircraft scatter, with the title, Using Aircraft Reflections in VHF Communications. When an aircraft crosses the path of a radio signal, the aircraft will cause the signal to scatter in all directions. Backscatter is primarily what is used in radar systems that track aircraft in the sky. Here the transmitter and receiver are normally co-located. The signal will also be reflected in the forward direction and be received by another station in a different location. This is known as bistatic radar. It stands to reason that the amount of signal reflected is very small, and there are equations available that can be used to calculate the path losses and expected level of received signal. There is also some magic that happens when the aircraft flies directly in the path between the two stations. This magic manifests itself as a signal enhancement, sometimes as much as 20 to 30 dB or more. As a result of this, aircraft scatter propagation is sometimes referred to as aircraft enhancement. There are a number of factors that affect the possible contact via aircraft scatter. The speed at which the aircraft is flying, whether the aircraft flies in the path between the two stations or crosses the path. The size of the aircraft also affects the amount of signal that is scattered, and of course the number of aircraft in the sky. Aircraft scatter is more popular in areas where the airspace is busy, as in Europe or the US. Here in southern Africa, there are considerably less aircraft in the sky, although there are times when the airways are busy, for instance, in the morning or late afternoon, with aircraft landing and taking off from OR Tambo or Lanseria airports. A couple of years ago, Carl, ZS6 Charlie Bravo Quebec, now a Silent Key, from Krugersdorp, and Rikus, ZS4 Alpha from Bethlehem, used to experiment quite often with aircraft scatter. At that time, they had the best results when an aircraft on its way to OR Tambo was over Koppies in the Free State. Carl, ZS6 CBQ, previously made the suggestion, we can try more aircraft scatter between all the provinces during peak flight hours in the mornings, evenings and weekends. And I suggest Divisions 1, 2 and 3 and Victor 51 transmit second, with Divisions 4, 5 and 6 transmitting first, all on FT4. There is a listener in Botswana, Peter.dx channel, who posts videos on YouTube of what he hears and sees using a SDR and software and listening for FM broadcast stations. Here is a clip from a video where he decoded a SABC 5 FM station being broadcast from the Centec Port Hedland RIS transmitter. In the 30-second clip, you will hear the radio stations fading in and then fading out again. This YouTube contributor has many examples that you can listen to on his channel. There is also a wealth of information available, as well as software that can assist you to explore this interesting VHF and above mode. Take a look at the website of Roger, Whiskey 3 Sierra Zulu at whiskey3sierrazulu.com/aircraftscatter.htm. You can also find Air Scout software written by Frank, Delta Lima 2 Alpha Lima Foxtrot at www.airscout.eu/index.php. Let us now look at rain scatter. Rain scatter mainly affects frequencies in the higher UHF and microwave bands. The closer that the wavelength of the RF signal gets to the size of a raindrop, the better the signal is scattered. The wavelength of 10 GHz is approximately 3 cm, and that is why 10 GHz is most often used for rain scatter experiments. Also, the more intense the storm is, the more the RF signals are scattered. Both stations need to be pointed at the same storm cell, and preferably the angle between the two stations pointing at the same storm cell needs to be less than 90 degrees to be most effective. At 10 GHz, a small 60 to 90 cm dish will provide sufficient amplification of the signal. Monitoring the weather radars provide a good source of information to determine which storms may give you the best results when experimenting with rain scatter. There are many resources available on the web where you can find a wealth of information about rain scatter. A good primer on how to make rain scatter contacts can be found on the YouTube channel of Whiskey 8 Bravo Yankee Alpha. Apparently, lightning scatter is very much like meteor scatter. However, I personally would rather pursue meteor scatter. I would definitely not like to play outside when there is lightning. Life may be short, and the cost of fried equipment may be too high for our pockets. All the links mentioned here can be found in the text version of this program on the www.amsatsa.org.za website. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobzda@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz. This program is compiled, edited and presented for Amateur Radio Today by Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.